From APM in Emeryville, California, I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. The cloud services provider Box reports earnings later today. It's had a bit of a tough run since its big IPO in 2015. Box's stock peaked at $25 and hit a low of just over $9 in June. The company is basically in competition with Microsoft, Alphabet, and Amazon, plus Dropbox. And Brian White, research analyst at Drexel Hamilton, says Box has to sell Fortune 500 companies on using its services.
Evangelist. They have to be an evangelist. Anytime there's disruption in a market, you know, you've got to talk people through, you know, the value add that you're offering because no one wants to make a change.
White has also said that Box is, quote, underappreciated and misunderstood in the market today. CEO Aaron Levy is definitely pushing the message that Box can help old school companies compete. We caught up with him at a conference recently where he was talking about the future of work, but clearly making the sales pitch too.
Fortune 500 companies and every business, you know, around the world has the choice. Do you embrace that change or do you sort of fall behind and you have a service that isn't going to be advanced enough for people to care about?
We'll see if big companies are buying when Box reports its earnings after the market closed today. A few years ago, massive open online courses, or MOOCs, were the talk of the education world. Startups like Udacity, Coursera, and Khan Academy were going to upend institutions. Everybody would be getting free online degrees. College would be over. Classrooms would be remade around MOOCs. Now, it's a different story. Udacity has shifted toward vocational courses for professionals after realizing that hardly anybody completed its free online classes. Khan Academy is focusing on teaching technology. It also opened a brick-and-mortar school, and it just launched a bunch of apps for kids aged 2 to 7. As for Coursera, that company's two founders recently jumped ship. In 2014, the company brought on Rick Levin, who was president of Yale for 20 years. And today, it's announcing a new subscription model called Coursera for Business, so that companies, which currently include L'Oreal and Bank of New York Mellon, can use it for on-the-job training. I spoke with Coursera CEO Rick Levin earlier about how that might work.
How it works is it offers tremendous flexibility because you can take your courses at home, at work, on a desktop or laptop computer, on your mobile phone, on your iPad. The other thing that this ensures is whereas live training in a company often, you know, might differ from region to region, by giving standardized content is that corporate leaders can be assured that their people are getting the same treatment.
And how will companies measure outcomes, if at all?
We will be giving the companies an ability to track each of their employees. So every company will have a system that will allow them to follow the employee's progress and see how they're doing. So, and then, of course, companies can do what they will if they want to incentivize people to take the courses, give them bonuses for completion, for example, or consider the courses completed as part of their performance review. That's up to the company.
Is it easier for people to be incentivized to complete the course if they have a sense that it will help them really succeed in a concrete way at work?
First of all, we know for a fact that learners who pay on our consumer platform, the learners who pay are much more likely to complete than those who don't. I mean, their completion rates are well over 50%. And we know from some of the times we've made our courses available like to governments, like in Singapore, the Singaporean government actually provides a bonus of $300 to people who complete the entire data science sequence, and the completion rates are pretty high, I mean, as you would imagine.
You know, Rick, generally, I think one of the questions about online learning is what gets lost. So can you speak to that at all, what gets lost or what you need to supplement to make up for sort of not having a physical space?
I actually think for corporate learning programs, not much is lost. Now, if you ask, if you're discussing a work of literature or philosophy, you know, not having the chance to be live in front of a teacher and asking questions and being asked questions probably diminishes the learning experience somewhat. But I think when you're learning computer techniques or learning a new programming language or learning some standard business techniques in accounting or finance or marketing, the human contact is relatively less important. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but less important. And the quality of learning and retention is actually very strong online. One of the advantages our platform offers is you can rewind. Now, think about it. If you're sitting in a class and you're lost in the first 5 minutes, you have no recourse. You're just confused for the entire lecture. But if you're online and you go 5 minutes and we give you a little pop quiz and you don't answer it and you realize, I don't understand this, you can go back and watch it again and again until you get it.
That's true. That is a benefit, especially for those of us who just occasionally lose focus. That's Coursera CEO Rick Levin. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you very much.
likely hear a lot more about corporate tax avoidance in the next few days. Apple got a big bill yesterday. Europe's antitrust organization said the company owes $14.5 billion in back taxes after Apple set up shop in Ireland, which is known to be a tax haven for tech companies. But EU officials said Apple even avoided that country's standard rate. Margrét Vestager is the European Commissioner for Competition.
Even modestly set, it is only a tiny fraction of the 12.5%, which is the official tax rate in Ireland.
She said Apple got, quote, selective treatment, which led to this.
The tax rulings given by the Irish government to Apple allowed Apple to, in some years, to pay as little as 0.005%.
Nice work if you can get it. For his part, Apple CEO Tim Cook said in a letter to European customers that the ruling would hurt innovation, overrule Ireland's sovereignty, and that it unfairly targets Apple. Our sister show, the Marketplace Morning Report, had a longer interview with Ms. Vestager. You can hear that on our website, marketplace.org. And before we go, let's talk about Star Trek. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary here at Marketplace Tech, and we would love to hear from you about it. You could tell us what it meant to you, maybe something about a favorite episode, or maybe how, like me, you pretty much always say this when you want someone to do something.
Make it so.
Captain Picard forever. Call us. Leave us a voicemail at 304-87-TECH-1. You may end up on the show. Marketplace Tech was produced today from the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.